This morning we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and as you're heading that direction, I have a question to ask you. You don't have to answer it or raise your hand or anything. Have you ever been denied something? I imagine we've all been denied something that we wanted at some point. You know, go back to when you're a child and something you may have wanted. I think back to days when I was a child, you know, there were a lot of things I wanted. A lot of things I didn't get. That's just the way it was. But you know, as adults, that happens as well. There can be some things that we want and that we desire. And I'm not talking about sin this morning. We're not talking about sinful deeds or anything immoral or anything wrong. Just things we may want in life. And they can even be things concerning service to God. And we may not get those things. And when we're denied those things, it can be discouraging. It can be upsetting. And it can even hinder our relationship with the Lord. Well, this morning, the title of this message is The Burden of Exclusion. Now, we're nearing the end of our series. The series is Burdened But Not Broken. We're talking about David, looking at some examples from his life, how he had to carry several burdens in life, but how God gave him the strength to get through each one of those and to carry him. And so we only have a few more messages on this. And this morning we're going to be looking at the burden of exclusion. Basically, it's not being invited to the party is what it is. You're just not wanted. You're not there. You're not allowed to go. And you got to sit back and watch it and know what's going to happen and know how things are going to work out or have an idea and just not allowed to be part of it. And that's what we're going to look at here with David. He was told no by God. You know, for some, being told no is almost like an invitation, like to go ahead and try it anyway. You know, when God tells us no, we just need to stop and wait on Him or look for the direction that He's leading. You know, I think that we don't want to believe that God will tell us no. Now, we know He has that right. We know that. The Bible teaches He's a sovereign God. He's in control and that He can do as He pleases. But I think as believers, we like to think that He'll always say yes. Or if He doesn't say yes, then He'll at least work it out where it pleases us or how we want it. But you know, there are going to be times where God will say no, and that's simply because our plans are not necessarily His plans. What we want is not necessarily what He wants for us. And that's what we're going to find here with David. David was excluded. He had a great desire to serve God. And he had, as we'll see here in a minute, he had a good idea. There's nothing wrong. But God said no. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for allowing us to be here. And as we look at this chapter here this morning, I pray that You'll help us to see not only how You directed David's life and You had a purpose for his life, but also how David accepted Your will in his life and how he was able to move forward. I pray that You'll encourage us, provide the spiritual need that each one of us has this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have four thoughts on this, and I'm going to begin with David's attitude. David had a good attitude to start off with. The Bible tells us that he had a desire to serve the Lord. We have David here on a rare occasion for David, a time of peace. He wasn't battling. He wasn't at war. Evidently, some things had been, the Philistines had been put down. Jerusalem had been pretty much settled. And so he found himself at his home. He'd had a new home, a new house, at his home, living in peace. And I think that David understood that the Lord had blessed him. We found in 2 Samuel 6, it tells us that he went after the ark of the Lord and he brought it to Jerusalem. He wanted God's blessings upon his life. He wanted God's blessings upon his reign as king. And he had a great desire for God. And that's where I want you to notice that David was different than others. Not everyone, but many. You know, when we look at the Old Testament, I just give you a few examples. We have Nebuchadnezzar. Now think of Nebuchadnezzar from Daniel chapter 2. The Bible tells us that he boasted of his accomplishments when he had a time of rest. That he looked at his kingdom and boasted of all that he was able to do. We don't find that with David. When David had a time of rest, he humbly recognized it was because of the Lord. The Lord had blessed him. Also, in the Bible, in 1 Kings chapter 11, we have the account of Ahab. He was a king of Israel. He came after David. And the Bible tells us that when he had a time of rest, he began to look at other people's property. He coveted what others had and eventually stole it, took it, and even committed murder. We don't find David doing that. Instead, David's looking to please the Lord with his life. And here's the third one. Luke chapter 12 tells us of the rich man. The Bible tells us that he had collected in abundance. He put it, all of it in storage, and he said he was just going to enjoy life from that point on. Little did he know God was going to hold him accountable that day. You see, David didn't look for ease and comfort. He looked to honor God with his life. You know, this morning, no matter where you are right now, as far as your place in life, age, or your career, look to honor God. Look to live for the Lord. And look to serve the Lord. And that's what we find here with David. So he didn't seek to promote himself. Instead, he looked to honor God with his time. And so the Bible tells us that he went to Nathan. You know, David in verse 2 says this, says that he noticed that he had a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. I could just see David sitting in his house. A beautiful house, magnificent house. And as he's in his house, maybe he looked out his window and he saw the tabernacle, the tent sitting over there. And he thought, man, I have this nice house, and there the ark of the Lord is just sitting behind these old curtains. And it began to bother him. He wanted to honor God. He thought that God deserved better than that, or the things of God deserved better than that. You know, that's a heart after the Lord. And so we find here that he wanted to do more, and so he went and he got a hold of his friend who was a prophet, Nathan. Now, I think this is pretty much for this reason here. During the Old Testament days, they didn't have the complete Word of God as we have today. And when God would speak, often his word would come through the prophets. Now, we also have to understand, it wasn't like God was talking to these prophets every day. It was a rare occasion. It would happen, and God would send a message to the prophets. So I think David may have got a hold of Nathan because he wanted to see what not only what Nathan thought, but maybe if God had a message concerning this situation. You know, I could see David maybe examining the Old Testament scriptures. You know, 2 Samuel chapter 6 tells us that when he went to move the ark, that he neglected the Bible. He didn't look for the scriptures. And because he neglected the Bible, tragedy occurred. Later he went, he got things right, he did it according to God's word. I think now David probably learned from that experience. Have you ever learned from an experience where you do something wrong and you say, I don't know if I'm going to do it right, but I'm not going to do it that way again. I imagine that's how we have David. He wasn't going to neglect the scriptures again. So I imagine he searched the Old Testament, didn't find anything concerning forbidding him to build a house for the ark. And so he contacted Nathan, and notice what Nathan said. The Bible says Nathan comes in, and verse 3 says, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. So Nathan offered his advice. I could see Nathan. He hears out David. Now we have two thoughts here. First, you know, men of God can be wrong. You know, pastors can be wrong. Nathan here, and he didn't do this purposely. I think Nathan, based on the knowledge he had, based on the word of God that had been revealed unto him, he didn't see anything wrong with what David had planned. You see, it seemed it would be good because it would honor the Lord. That's good. You know, whenever we honor God, that's good. Secondly, it was practical. You know, at this point, the ark was in Gibeah, where it was. And so they would have worship there. But then in Jerusalem, where the king was, they would also have services and ceremonies. If they brought the ark and they built a house in Jerusalem for this, then they could do it all together in the capital city. So I imagine, practically speaking, it was a good idea. They could have all the worship, the sacrificial worship, and worship of God in one location. And finally, I imagine Nathan looked at the scriptures too, and he probably said, you know, there's nothing wrong. God hasn't forbidden us to do that. There's nothing wrong here. God has put it in your heart how much you go forward. You know, I think we find that both men appear to have been properly motivated. I want to point that out this morning. We're not talking about men who were sinning or looking to sin or trying to skirt around some commands in the Bible. We're talking about two men who wanted to do right by God and who wanted to honor the Lord. You know, this morning, that's where we need to begin with. Let's make sure our motives are correct as we serve the Lord. You know, we can have misplaced motives sometimes. You know, yes, I enjoy seeing you in church, but you shouldn't be in churches because you feel like you have to be. You should be in church to hear the preaching and teaching of God's Word, to fellowship with others, and to grow in the Lord. Motives. How about giving? You know, as a pastor, I don't want you to give just because you feel you have to give. That's not a cheerful giver. You should give because you want to give. God has placed it upon your heart and you have a desire to give unto the Lord. You see, motives have to be in the right place. You can do a lot if you have incorrect motives, before God, then it's, I don't want to say, I guess it'd be worthless if the motives are incorrect. And so we find here that their motive, I think, or their motives were correct. Now, let's look next. We find David's attitude. Now let's look at David's answer. When I say his answer, the answer he received from God. Verse 4, and it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying. Now could you imagine the prophet? You know, that's one thing about pastors. You know, we have to, what's that, eat crow a lot? You know, when you preach and teach, you know, you're going to make mistakes and you don't want to, but there are times where you're like, I missed it. I didn't mean that, or it came out this way. Now here we have Nathan. Could you imagine as soon as he goes home, he gets this dream, or the Lord appears to him in the night, whatever it is, he gets this message from the Lord. And now he has to go back and tell David, hey, I was wrong. The Lord says no. And that's basically what we find here. It says there in verse 5, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since that time I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Now I'm going to stop there. This entire chapter focuses on this, and I'm not going to read through the entire chapter. From this point on, I'll probably hit some verses as we go through it. But basically, what we find in this chapter is the Lord gave David his answer, and the answer was no. As I mentioned before, we don't like to think that God can tell us no. You know, our plans sometimes are not what He wants for us. And that's what we need to understand. The Lord was not displeased with David. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. As we go through the rest of this message, I'll be going back and forth to 1 and 2 Chronicles. Basically, the Chronicles are like a commentary to the book of Samuel. We find a lot of the same events, and we find that they kind of go together. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and it says there, and I want you to notice in verse 8, and it says, but I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel, he says here. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build me a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. So notice here, David was commended for this idea. See, David did nothing wrong. It wasn't a bad idea, and it wasn't bad motive. It just wasn't God's plan for David's life. And that's what we run into. God said no, not because David had a bad motive or bad idea. You know, I read once where F.B. Meyer, he was an English preacher, he said this, and I think he's correct on this. He said, God will credit us with what we would have been able to do if we could have. Now think about that for a minute. You know, God knows our resources this morning. You know, God knows exactly what you would do if you had $5 million fall into your lap right now. He knows what you would do if you had your bank account drained to $5 right now. You see, God knows our heart. He knows our motives, and He knows what we would do with what we have. You see, we should be faithful with whatever we have. And I think that's what he finds here with David. He knew that if David would have been called to build the temple and to do that work, that he would have done it, and he would have done it pretty much for God's glory. And David had a desire to do that. So David had a desire. But here's the thing. He had a correct, I guess you say, idea. He had a plan to build the temple. He had the correct place in Jerusalem, but he was incorrect concerning the time. It would come later. He was also incorrect concerning the person. It wouldn't be him, but his son Solomon. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Chronicles. We find here, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, one reason why God would not allow David to build this house for him. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and in verse 7 it says there, and David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house under the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house under my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. David was a man of war, is what he was. You know, that's what David was made to be. Think about that. You know, when you read the history of David, 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, and you began to look at the history of mankind, David and those men that were with him, Joab and some of the others, those men are right up there with the greatest conquerors that ever walked this earth. Alexander the Great, Cyrus the Great, all the names that in ancient history, these men did similar. Expanded their kingdom. Conquered the land as they knew it. David was a man. That's what God called him to do. That was his purpose in life. That was God's plan for David. God's plan for David was not to build the temple because David was a man of war. And David, I think, understood this. You see, he had shed much blood. Now think about the temple for a minute. This was going to be the house of the Lord, the place of worship. It wasn't going to be a monument to war. You know, those have their place today. You know, you can travel our country and you can visit some places. They'll have statues maybe to former generals or former leaders. And it's a monument to their achievements as far as leading the nation. We think of George Washington, not only the first president, but also, I guess, called the first military leader of our country, and others throughout history that have been leaders in those areas. The temple was to be a place of worship. It was not to be a place of war or a place to glorify the wars that had taken place. And so I think David was prevented because he was a man of war. That was what God had called him to do. Also, according to 1 Kings chapter 5, let's just look at 1 Kings 5. David gives us a little bit of insight here too of another reason. 1 Kings 5 and verse 3, it says there, "Thou knowest how that David my father," actually Solomon speaking, "could not build a house under the name of the Lord of his God for the wars which were about him on every side until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet." David had a time of peace, but that peace did not last long. David would have turmoil in his home. David would have other countries attempt to come in and cause problems. David had more wars to fight. You know what happened with David? He had a good idea, he had a good motive, but he didn't know the future. You know, let that be a lesson to us. You know, when God does not allow us to have something, it's not necessarily because we are bad. It's not because we have sinned. It's not even because we're unable to handle it. It may be because God knows it's not the right time right now. Maybe it's because God knows there's something else out there for us, either waiting for us or He's prepared for us, or something else that we can't even see down the road a ways. And that's what I think we find here with David. He didn't know what was down the road. God did. There were more wars for him to fight. There was more work to be done. You know, before we move on, I guess the thought here is, you know, if you're saved, you're called by God, you're in His family, but we're not all called to the same service. We're not all given the same talents or abilities to serve God in the same way. You know, not everyone's called to be a missionary in Africa. Praise God for those that are and those that go. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Praise God for those that are and those that go. Not everybody's called to be a Sunday school teacher. Praise God for them. Not everybody's called to be an engineer. Not everybody's called to be a construction worker. Just the list goes on, all the careers that are out there. And if God has called you in that career field, God has a plan for your life, God has a purpose, and God will work through you where He's placed you. You see, David was called to be a man of war. Yes, he was the king, but his responsibility or his calling was not to build that temple. As we'll see here in a little bit, what his calling was for, I think, was to prepare the way for the building of that house. Anyway, we just need to understand that we're not all called for the same service. And sometimes we can be prevented, you know, our conduct can prevent us from serving God. You know, sinful actions, we make a mistake in life, can prevent us down the road from doing a service for God. Also, I don't know about you, but I'm getting older. I don't like to think that. I'll probably find out this afternoon how old I really am, playing some of these games and watching these young kids run around. Either I'll find out tonight or tomorrow morning when I wake up and soar, getting out of bed. You see, as we get older, we can also be limited in our service. Not because we don't want to serve, but that's just part of life. As we get older, we can be limited in what we're able to do. And then, here's the third one, really. We can be prevented simply because God doesn't want us to do it. He has just stopped it. He's hindered. It's kind of like with David here. David was not allowed to go forward in this because God stopped him, and God had a different plan for his life. So we just need to remember that the Lord is in control, and let's be content with His direction. And that's what we find with David. We find him accepting God's direction. The rest of this chapter talks about David, or talks about his prayer unto God. We find him going to the Lord. You know, how we take God telling us no tells a lot about our relationship with God. It does. You know, when God tells us no, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but we shouldn't turn against God. We shouldn't get angry with God. We should submit to God. Seek Him in prayer. And that's what we find with David. We don't find David running out saying, "Fine, you know, you want someone else to do it? Let him do it." We find him going to God in prayer. And in this chapter, we find him recognizing God's authority in verses 18 and 19. We'll look at it here, 2 Samuel verse 18. "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord." Sitting before the Lord. He's just been told no. He had a dream. He had a desire. You know, talk about bursting someone's bubble. And he goes in and he sits before the Lord. You know, if you ever have something taken away from you, or if you can't do something you want to do, go talk to God about it. And that's what David did. He went and sat before the Lord, it says there in verse 18. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" I tell you, he acted a lot differently than what most people tell you to act. He didn't go before God and demand that God give him this, or demand that God answer his prayer. He went humbly before God and said, "Who am I?" You see, David understood before God he was nothing, that because of God he was everything. But before God, he was nothing. And then we find in verses 20 and 21, he recognized how great God is. And then we go on down, and I'm not going to take time to go through that. I want to focus on verse 25. It says there, "And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said." You know, it's easy to read that verse, but stop and think about that for a minute. David had a desire to build this house for God, a monument to the Lord. Now, you got to remember, he was a king, a very aggressive king. And like all leaders, I imagine he had some pride. Everyone's got a little bit of pride. He had a desire to do right. I imagine he wanted to leave a little bit of a legacy. And here God says, "No, you can't. It's not for you." And here we have David going unto the Lord and basically submitting himself to God, saying, "All right, I'm fine with that. Your will, not mine." And we have a humble prayer here, and he asked for it to be established forever. Now, of course, it was already established, but basically we see his heart here. He was not asking God to change his mind, and we can do that. You know, God has prevented us. God has taken us a certain way, and we can go and say, "Please, God, change your mind," instead of accepting God's direction and going forward. Now, David was grateful for what God had given to him, and David submitted his life to the Lord. You know, it's difficult to submit when we're denied. It's easy to submit to the Lord when we're blessed, right? I mean, we got all the blessings coming in, and you got all the promotions, and you're getting everything you want in life. Then it's easy to say, "Praise God," and we submit our life to the Lord. But when all of a sudden things start to turn, and maybe you don't get the promotion you wanted or you deserved or you were in line for and you believe you should have gotten, but for some reason God has not allowed it to happen, or maybe some service that you wanted to do on the Lord is just prevented, then it becomes a little bit difficult to submit to God and say, "God, your will, not mine." But that's what David did. I think it's because his heart was after God, and basically as a king he was serving the Lord. You know, George Mueller was a man in England. He started many orphanages. He was a pastor, a preacher in England. He was a man of prayer, is what he was. And people used to always say, "If George Mueller's praying for you, he's talking to God. He's right there. His prayers are answered." After a service once, a man went up to George Mueller and he asked him, he said, "What's the secret to your service? Why are your prayers answered? Why is God blessing you in so many ways?" You know, if you ever read his biography, he had many blessings that can only be attributed to God. God just blessing his work and his efforts. And here's what he told that man. He said this. He goes, "There was a day in my life," he said, "when I died." He said, "I utterly died. I died to George Mueller. His opinions, his preferences, his tastes, and his will." He says, "I died to the world, its approval or its censure." He says, "And since then I have studied to show myself approved only unto God." What that man did is he died to self. And that's what we need to do if we're going to serve the Lord. We need to say, "Your will, not mine," and mean it, and be willing to follow God and be content with God's direction for our life. You see, that's what David did in this situation. He asked for it to be done unto God's glory, and he simply trusted the Lord. You know, this is where, before we move to the last point here this morning, this is where we find it's a struggle. When God tells us no, or God prevents us from going a direction we want to go, it's easy to gripe, it's easy to complain, it's easy to get discouraged, it's easy to quit and just stop serving the Lord. What's that? You know, you see children at the playground. They don't get their way, they just take the ball and go home. It's just easy to become like that as a Christian. We don't get our way, so we're just not going to do anything. Well, we find that David didn't do any of those. And I think it's because he understood that simply, if God prevents service from one area, it doesn't mean that he's going to stop blessing. Or it doesn't mean that he has no plan for us. It just means God doesn't want us to go that direction. That's not God's plan for our life. That he has a different plan for our life. Also, when God prevents us from moving forward or doesn't allow us to have something we may want, it doesn't mean that we're less of a person or that we're incapable. You know, when we think that, then it's pride is causing us to think that. What it means is that God has a plan for our life and He's got a purpose. And that leads us into the last thought. And this is David's action. This is where we see. And you know what? I think this is where not only do we see David's conduct, but actually this is where we should desire to be when God leads our life as well. Notice it says there in verse 28, "And now, O Lord God, Thou art that God, and Thy words be true. Thou hast promised this goodness unto Thy servant. Therefore, now, let it please Thee to bless the house of Thy servant, that it may continue forever before Thee. For Thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with Thy blessing let the house of Thy servant be blessed forever." You know what David did after he was told no? He did what God allowed him to do. D.L. Moody was an evangelist in America. Great preacher, saw many souls saved. On his Bible, or in his Bible, next to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, he had this written down in his Bible. It says, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do." I think, I don't know if David had that written down, but I tell you what, that was his attitude. David didn't complain because he couldn't build the temple. David didn't quit because he couldn't build the temple. We're going to turn to some passages here in a minute in 1 Chronicles. We're going to see that David put everything he had into preparing for the temple. We're talking about a man who was just told no. And instead of just stopping, he gave all his effort in what God allowed him to do. Let that be a lesson to us this morning. God may tell us no, but what He does tell us yes to, let's put all our effort into going that direction. Turn, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. I want us to see this morning, as we get ready to finish this message up, I want us to see what David did, some of the work that took place from this point on in his life. 1 Chronicles 22, and it says in verse 5, "And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death." Notice what happened. David was told no. God said, "You're not to build it, your son is." And David said, "That's fine, but I'm going to prepare so that way he can build a great house for God." And that's what he did. David gave as much as he possibly could before his death. He gave everything into it before his death to please God. You know, if we're not careful, we can waste our time complaining about what God won't let us do instead of putting all our effort into what God has called us to do and directed us to do. I think that'd be a shame someday we get to heaven and stand before the Lord and we find that out, that we were sitting on the sidelines complaining about what He prevented instead of being involved in a direction He was going to take us. Instead of David doing that, we find him going full speed ahead. We're over in 1 Chronicles 22. Look down at verse 14 and see what it says there. 1 Chronicles 22 and in verse 14. Oh, let me get back to it. I got the wrong book there. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 14. It says there, "Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto." You know what took place basically is David, I tell you, he gave his life to this work. Wars, traveling. I could just see David going out from this point on, looking for anything that could go to the house of the Lord. You know, finding this and taking it back, saying, "Solomon's going to need that. Solomon's going to need this. Oh, this would be great for God's house." And just put everything he had into gathering the materials to build this house. According to 1 Chronicles 29, he gave his life to this. This was his goal and his desire. And even in that passage, we find him challenging others to give. I guess he'd have made a good pastor. He's telling others to give what they had as well. 1 Chronicles 29, it says in verse 5, "The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" So we have David. The Bible tells us that he not only gave himself wholly into this work of preparing for the temple, but he also got others involved. He challenged them. Now, if you read this passage, you know what you don't find? We don't find any big promotions. I mean, he didn't give away t-shirts. He didn't have all these gimmicks. He didn't sell raffle tickets. He didn't put plaques. He didn't find any plaques with names on them on the temple. What he did was challenge them to consecrate themselves unto God and give. In other words, give because you want to give unto the Lord, not because there's anything in return or you're expecting anything in return, whether it's attention or anything else. You give because you want to give. That's what David was doing himself, giving because he wanted to give unto God. Now think about this. Building the temple was that was the glorious part. And that's what Solomon received. Solomon got to build that temple, and for many years, even a lot of historians today still call it Solomon's temple. He was the one that received that. David had to do the hard work, so to speak, the difficult work. He's the one who had to go gather all the materials. He didn't get glory for it or credit for it, but that's what God wanted him to do. So he was going to do it with all his might. You know, David also planned the building. 1 Chronicles 28 tells us he gave the pattern to Solomon. He had it planned out, ready to go. And he encouraged Solomon in the work. You know, this morning, as we wrap this up, here's what we find. Here's what it comes down to. We have a man going to God with a great desire to serve the Lord, wanting to go a direction in his life. And others around saying, it's good. You know, a good idea, Nathan. And then God saying no, stopping him right in his tracks. You can't do this. And here's the reason why. Provided him reason, gave him direction. And then we find David, instead of moping or quitting, saying, okay, God, but what you will let me do, I'm going to do it to the best of my abilities. I'm going to give everything I have to it. You know, this morning, that's the lesson for us as believers. You know, sometimes there are some who will only serve if they believe the role is important. That's the only time they'll serve. I tell you what, it's not glorious cleaning bathrooms. It's not glorious doing some of the work that needs to be done in a church, but it's needed. Also, there are some who will only serve some won't serve if they don't get their way. If they don't get their way, they're gone. We shouldn't be like that. We should be willing to serve wherever God has placed us. Now, of course, in church, but also even in our life in general, whatever career God has called you into, whatever direction the Lord has taken you, praise God for that. Praise God for whatever He's given you. Family, be the best husband you can be. Be the best dad. Be the best mom. Be the best wife. Be the best whatever you're doing in life. Be the best you can for God. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us that we are to glorify God. Do all unto the glory of God. I think that includes everything in life. We should do all unto the glory of God. That's what David did. Everything was unto God's glory. You know, this morning, we need to remember it's about God and not about us. That's what it comes down to. And that's difficult sometimes. It's easy to make it about us and think that it's all about us. But it's about the Lord and pleasing God and living for the Lord. You know, I think churches have even kind of come across this way. What I mean by that, if we're not careful, we can come to church just to please ourselves. And that happens sometimes. We come to church looking to be pleased, or we should go to church to worship the Lord, to hear preaching and teaching, to sing praises unto God. And we're there for God and for His glory, not for our glory and our honor. We're there to serve the Lord. You see, God is our Creator. And if you're saved here this morning, He's also your Savior. And you belong to Him. And He has the right to do as He pleases. We have no right to tell God what to do. And if God chooses to do something that we don't like, we have no right to disagree with Him. I mean, we can disagree with Him, but it's not our place. He's God. What we need to do is be thankful. Be thankful that He has created us. Be thankful that He has provided for us. Be grateful and be faithful unto the Lord. You know, I think, when you think of this, this is called the burden of exclusion. There is one area that God has not excluded anybody, and that's with His family. What I mean by that, now I'm not saying everyone's saved, but the invitation is out there. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, this morning, everyone, that invitation is to the world. And anyone can trust in Christ as their Savior and be saved. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has nothing to do with where you were born, where you were raised, your nationality. It has nothing to do with where you work or what you do for a living. It's between you and the Lord. And anyone can trust in Christ as their Savior. You know, when you think about that, God has removed, there are no obstacles there. He has provided the way. He's provided Jesus Christ. He's provided salvation. He's taken care of our sin. All we have to do is trust in Him. So, if God, after you're saved, if God should exclude you from something, you know, I think David may have thought, man, it'd be nice to see that finished. It'd be nice to be there for that great celebration and to be part of that. But he wasn't allowed to see that and be part of that. And if God has prevented you from something, understand two things in closing. One, he has brought you into his family. You belong to him. He's not excluded you from salvation. So you have an eternity with him. And secondly, he knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for each one of us. He's our creator. And he knows what's best because he knows the future and he knows you. I think he knows you better than you know yourself. He's made you. He knows what's going to make you happy. He knows what will please you in life. He knows what will bring peace and contentment to your heart. What we need to do is just be faithful, content with his direction, and follow his leading. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, for the blessings you provided. As we have this time of invitation, I pray that if you've worked in anyone's heart here this morning, that they'll seek you out in prayer or they'll take anything they have to you and deal with it with you, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. We're going to have just a brief invitation. If God has worked in your heart in any way at all, I encourage you to seek him in prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've just maybe God's told you no in some area of your life. Maybe it's something personal. Maybe it's something in your career. Maybe it's something in serving him. God has told you no. And if that's the case, perhaps here you saw how David handled it, and maybe that's how you need to handle it as well.